Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense. It's made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Weir Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and this is fantastic. You know, it's that time of year, 4th of July. It always means picnics and patriotism and Nathan's annual hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. And we got to champ. We got to champ on the phone with us, Mickey Sudo. She holds the women's world record of 51 Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs in 10 minutes. She won her 10th title last year with 51 hot dogs and buns eaten. Hey, Mickey, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You know about my Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
That was my intro song for a long time when I first started competitive eating.
Now, did you guys get to select, like, your walk-in song or your intro song when you do that?
You know, sometimes at some events, not for Nathan's because it's a very involved production.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm happy to walk out to anything that gets the crowd pumped.
Hey, you know, you talk about the production. This thing has grown into a huge juggernaut, right? I mean, it used to be like a small competition, and now it's televised by ESPN. You got music playing. You got huge crowds. I mean, what a time for you to be a part of this.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think back because I started competitively eating a little bit later compared to some of my fellow competitors. I was in my late 20s and I just think like, what if I had joined when I was 18? Like I was actually going to school in the Bronx, you know, so not far from where they hold the 4th of July contest.
Right.
But then I think back to like, you know, back in 2005. I mean, it was barely like a sideshow on, you know,
right.
the block. You know what I mean? Like, I think George Shea, the MC, you know, now he screams his head off in front of tens of thousands of people. But like, at one point he said he was like begging people to like eat in the contest. Like, please come be part of the show. So yeah, it's come a long, long way, even in the time that I've been doing it.
Yeah, we're talking to Mickey Sudo here in the National Defense, the record holder from Nathan's Hot Dogs. Her 10th title last year was 51 hot dogs and buns eaten. And she's also married to a fellow competitive eater, Nick. Talk about Nick a little bit. And first of all, you guys are both like tiny, tiny people.
Oh, no, those are fighting words for him. Nick is a former bodybuilder. So, like, he like, works on his physique in a completely different way. So, yeah,
no, no,
like, I know what you mean. He's got a small waist and he's
very lean.
And
when you think of competitive eaters, you think of, you know, a guy coming in, he's weighing 300 pounds. And
I know what you meant. But, he first of all, he loves working out. You know, his former passion prior to competitive eating before this life was bodybuilding. I think it still shows. But, you know, and I focus more on cardio. Nick likes to lift weights. But long story short, I feel like we both feel that we do better at the table And, you know, everything from chasing a 3-year-old to eating hot dogs, it's just easier when you're lean, fit, and healthy. I don't know, in my opinion. I can only speak to myself. But
well, yeah, hey, listen, the results speak for themselves, though. I mean, you know, you, 10 titles like that. Do you even like hot dogs?
I love food in general. There are very few things that I would not eat in competition. You know, just the only difference being when I eat, normally I don't like to dunk the buns and, you know, like I would just prefer to eat hot dogs leisurely, like chopped with some sauerkraut, spicy mustard, raw onions. So I don't enjoy hot dogs the way that we eat them on stage, but of course, yeah, I love a nice dog.
And do you ever eat hot dogs outside of this competition?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, like, don't tell Nathan's. One of my guiltiest pleasures is, like, a gas station hot dog. But, I mean, you know, and then you're like, that's proper hot dog.
I love those, too. I love those, too. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Once in a while.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. And
I don't know what this is, but it's delicious. but I like proper hot dogs, too, off the grill. I mean, I love
food. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're so good. And you guys have a little baby, right?
Yeah, he's not so little anymore. He's going to be 4 in like a week.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is that a future competitive eater?
No. He loves being on stage, but hopefully he'll, you know, pursue different passions. Yeah, Max will be turning 4 on July 8th. It's going to be his 4th appearance at Nathan's.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like running around. He loves jumping on stage and saying hi to the people, though. But obviously he loves food.
That's so funny. And now I know that you do, aside from Nathan's, you do other competitive eating. What other kind of competitive eating, what kind of foods have you done?
Oh my gosh. I've done so many events over the last 10 years. I hold world records in ice cream, kimchi, fish balls, slices of cheese, hot dogs, Minnesota hot dish. Jello. I mean, these are just things that I hold the world record in. But I mean, other than that, like we eat everything from like pulled pork sliders, chicken wings, ribs, you know, Twinkies, you name it.
We're based in Kansas City, Missouri, and there's a famous steakhouse here called Jess and Jim Steakhouse. And they had a competition for a while. They've got a 64-ounce T-bone. And you had to eat the 64-ounce T-bone, a twice-baked potato, a salad, and an order of beets. Whoever ate it the fastest, if you ate it within a certain amount of time, you got it for free. And everybody thought that was impossible. And then a young lady comes in one day. I don't know what it is about the women that come in and that are small. And she demolished the record. I mean, it was incredible to watch.
I am so sad. I was just in Kansas City. I wish I had known about this. It's like what? We're quarter past 9 in the morning here, and I would eat that right now. That sounds delicious. Yeah, I was just actually in Kansas City for a Nathan's qualifier. I just I didn't have to compete, but they were looking for the next top competitive eaters, and you know, a new woman and new guy advanced to the finals. But now you guys have some great food out there.
We need to come up with a barbecue competition for competitive eating and get you in there for that. But you know, it's amazing to me though, within the course of this interview, you ate 51 Nathan's hot dogs and buns. I mean, that is just incredible to think about. And how do you feel afterwards?
I mean, honestly, like winning has this analgesic effect, so I don't really think about how I physically feel immediately. Sometimes the heat does get to me. You know, the New York heat and humidity and that sun can be very unforgiving.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. You do it outside in the heat.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, honestly, that's probably what stands out more than anything. I don't really think about how full I am. I'm thirsty and I'm hot usually.
Right.
That's basically it.
Right. We're talking to Mickey Sudo here on the National Defense, the winner of the last 10 Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs competition. She won her 10th title last year, 51 hot dogs and buns. And I would imagine, especially around the Nathan's event, you are like a major, major celebrity. I mean, you're signing autographs, you're taking selfies, right?
I mean, it's weird to hear that. But yeah, around... it's not so much that I'm a celebrity. This is a huge event. I mean, even if people don't consciously intend to watch the contest, it's usually on in the background, at least at everybody's barbecue. So people are very familiar with the Nathan Sandwich hot dog eating contest. So I'm just part of this big production. But yeah, I definitely get recognized for it. But
hey, I guess
the event, not me.
And I guess you and Nick met in 2018 at a gym on the morning of a hot dog eating contest, right?
Yeah, so Nathan puts us up in puts all the competitors up in the same hotel, and Nick and I were the only two people working out at maybe 4:30 in the morning. It was the morning. It was July 4th, 2018, I guess. We were the only two people in the gym. He was lifting weights. I was doing my cardio. And I went over and introduced myself and wished him good luck for the day. And we didn't start dating at that moment. It wasn't like love at first sight. It wasn't love at first bite. we didn't start dating until like a year later. Honestly, dating was like the furthest thing on my mind, but a mutual friend convinced us to go on a date, and you know, he's amazing. I mean, I love him despite the competitive eating.
Right. Sure, sure.
Yeah, it's not because of it. It's despite it. you know, he's an amazing father. He's kind. He's intelligent. He's hardworking. He cares about so many things and people through and through. And he's just an amazing guy. And that's why I really just want to see him do well on the stage, but only because he cares about it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you guys are both in your 30s. Is that correct?
Oh my gosh, he will not let me forget. I feel young, but I'm turning 40 at the end of July. I've been doing this for over a decade now. Yeah, he's 36 and I'm 39. At least 39 for another week or two.
Well, that kind of makes me wonder, is there an age at which you go, well, this is too old to be competitive eating? Or is that one of those sports like golf where you could do it at any age?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be doing it for as long as it's fun. I mean, I started this when I was single and then as a couple, and now we, you know, we bring our little kids around and they have a great time at the event. So, I mean, as long as it fits into my life and it's fun, you know, my body cooperates. Like Joey's a few years older than me, Joey Chestnut, and he still is obviously at the top of his game.
Sure,
so,
Joey Chestnut. You know,
yeah, so I think I'm still young compared to him.
Now, okay, just talking about Joey Chestnut, I mean, and that's a name that everybody is familiar with. Obviously, been doing it for a long time, been a champion for a long time. And is that where you guys are right now? Is the Joey Chestnut, is that a different level, or are you guys kind of at the same stage right now?
I mean, so Nathan's so hot dogs is the only discipline where men and women literally compete on different stages or at different contests. In every other event, the men, so my husband and I, Joey and I, will compete side by side eating the same food in the same time frame. Nathan's has a men's contest and a women's contest. But, you know, so Joey is remarkable when it comes to hot dogs. But when it comes to other foods, he's so great. But I've beat him at ribs, wings, ice cream, kimchi. I mean, I've beat him at a number of things over the years. But there's something about hot dogs. I think he just puts in a lot of extra work. He is, you know, more than a few steps ahead of me.
I gotcha. And is there any food that you would not competitively eat?
I always say, like, never say never, because I never thought I would eat oysters in competition. But these wonderful people offered me an all-expense-paid 5-day trip to Ireland to go eat oysters for 3 minutes, just 3 minutes in a castle. So I said, okay. And I gave it my all. I ate, like, 262 oysters in 3 minutes. And that is more oysters than I will ever eat again for the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm not a fan of oysters, but, you know, it's just under the right circumstances, like, you know, some things are just hard to say no to.
This is so much fun. This is so great. Mickey, listen, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Best of luck,
of course.
This 4th of July.
Thank you to your listeners. Happy 4th of July to everybody.
Yes, we can't wait to see you on ESPN. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Bon appetit. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Hey, as a veteran, you understand how crucial it is to be connected to loved ones, and T-Mobile is committed to helping your community stay connected. With exclusive wireless plan discounts for military and veteran families, those who serve save with T-Mobile. And beyond savings, T-Mobile is proud to be a military-friendly employer and has hired 10,000 veterans and military spouses, and they're not stopping there. Just head to T-Mobile.com/military-discounts to learn more about their commitment to military and veteran families.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, so it's time to get your grilling on. Pick up the Traeger Pro Series 22 Pellet Grill and Smoker, now on special buy for $389, was $549. Smoke a rack of ribs or bake an apple pie. This grill is versatile enough to do it all. This summer, no matter how you like your steaks, your barbecues are guaranteed to be well done. Celebrate 4th of July with fast free delivery on select grills right now at the Home Depot. Subject to availability.
Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Norwegian Cruise Line. They truly are a military-friendly company. They have a military appreciation program that was created for veterans, by veterans, with a mission to deliver amazing vacations for active-duty military, veterans, and their families. The program includes a 10% discount off all cruises, plus special onboard experiences, and is combinable with current NCL promotions. So military families can get the most out of their R&R at the best value. Register today at ncl.com/military. Norwegian Cruise Line, ships registry the Bahamas and USA. Restrictions apply.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century. So has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford Proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles and have publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message and data rates may apply.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Brian Clark is a senior fellow and director at the Center for Defense Concepts and Technology at the Hudson Institute. He's an expert in naval operations, electronic warfare, autonomous systems, military competitions, and wargaming. Former Navy submariner is back on with us to talk about an article and this concept of AI in combat situations. Brian, how are you?
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
Hey, great to have you back. Listen, this piece that a lot of people saw in the New York Times over the weekend talks about AI weapons being used in combat situations. And your theory or your take on this is that we're not quite ready, that we more integration is needed, right?
Right. Yeah. So what ends up happening a lot of times is we field new systems or technologies without really thinking about how they fit in with the rest of the force. You know, so we'll come up with a new gadget, you know, new unmanned vehicle, a new drone, or some new, you know, sensor technology. We'll send it out there. And then folks in the field have to figure out how to use it. And so what that ends up usually resulting in is a period of adjustment. And, you know, development of tactics, and it's usually fairly slow going. But what we're seeing with AI is, you know, not much preparation in terms of the force being ready to use this new technology. And it really gets applied mostly to doing things like image recognition, you know, assessing intelligence data, but not really used for some of the higher purposes that, you know, people have maybe envisioned for it.
Yeah, and so have we learned some of this in the Ukrainian situation and some of the
right.
some of the technology that they're using that we've set over?
Yeah, so the Ukrainians have you know, gone beyond just using AI to help figure out, is this a tank or is this a truck, and instead are applying it to come up with your courses of action or tactics. So they're using the AI to help them think through options for commanders to be able to execute a mission. You know, so they'll use it to evaluate the information coming in from commercial satellite data, assess the situation, figure out what tasks need to be performed, and then the AI will help them come up with a plan. You know, so it's just like having a little staff there in the form of these machine learning algorithms that help formulate a plan for did they go execute, and then they promulgate that out, and then the troops carry out the mission. So that's been a really interesting application of AI. And then you only get better at that as you go because the system learns from successful missions or unsuccessful missions what works and what doesn't work. So you're seeing the Ukrainians use that pretty effectively. The Russians have not done that nearly as much from what we can tell.
Yeah, and you know, with all the drones and the number keeps growing, and those are great to have, but they've got to be able to communicate with these other systems, right?
Right. Right. And so the, you know, what often, and what we've seen in the U.S. is, you know, drones get fielded and they get kind of treated as their own special project and they have special operators that operate on them. And they, you know, obtain data, and that data is then sent over to the intelligence community. And it exists in this separate world from the rest of the military where the tanks and the ships and the airplanes, all operate. And so the U.S. military is trying to tackle this idea of integration. So how do we actually bring these unmanned systems, you know, into the force? So that they're, you know, loyal wingmen or they're teamed and unmanned, unmanned team to be able to really contribute as a part of a, you know, kill chain, to use the military term. So, you know, they're embedded in the force in the same way that the people and the airplanes and the troops and tanks and ships are today, which has been hard because, you know, we're used to integrating the force with procedures. So we write a document. We all read the document. We get trained on how we're going to fight, and then we go off and fight. But with these machines, you have to do it all via machine-to-machine communication and algorithms. So instead of just saying we're going to train everybody to fight in the same way, now we got to figure out, well, okay, how do I train the machine to fight or to operate the same way that we do, the people do, and then make sure that it's actually going to, you know, adapt as things change, because I kind of trust that the person that's been trained in the same school I got trained in is going to operate the same way I did. But with the machine, you're not entirely sure if it's going to react the same way as
right.
the person until you get that experience. So, yeah, because the machine is, you know, because now we're talking about, you know, algorithms instead of training, it's just a different approach that you have to take to integrate them into the force.
That's so interesting.
Everyone has a community, a neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, community members can be your eyes and ears when you're not with your kids and alert you to signs of potential problems. Learn more at talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides. Is gambling ruining Major League Baseball? And can the sport recover from the heavy pressure of market forces? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
I'm here today with my insurance agent of about 12 years, Kevin Wall from Allstate. He's located at 2861 Churn Creek Road. Now, Kevin, what is it that has made you such a successful insurance office for, what, almost 30 years?
Yes, actually, 28 years, June 1st. And the fact that we genuinely care about our clients and want to do what's best to make sure we take care of their insurance needs.
I remember when my daughter had her accident, and Allstate and your office was right there to help with the claims process.
As I mentioned, we have great staff and customer service. We really do go the extra mile. And with Allstate, if you qualify for the California Good Driver discount, you can most likely get started with as low as 1 month down.
Now, do people have to wait until their renewal to get started?
No, absolutely not. Whether your policy is coming up for renewal now or if you're midterm, it really doesn't matter. We can usually get you covered within about 15 minutes from when you call. Whether it's auto, home, or anything else that needs insured, if you just give us a call or text us, we'd be glad to help you. 530-222-2306.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
We're talking to Brian Clark here on the National Defense, head of the Center for Defense Concepts and Technology at the Hudson Institute. He just released a new report, Unalone and Unafraid, a plan for integrating uncrewed and other emerging technologies into U.S. military forces. And Brian, something in your report talked about in a complex high-end conflict like the military might face against China, mass alone won't be enough. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so yeah, the discussion right now in the DoD is, you know, they just started this new program to buy thousands of unmanned systems or drones and field those very quickly. So in the next 2 to 3 years, with the idea that that mass is going to overcome the challenges posed by a country like China that has a geographic advantage of if we were to have a fight over Taiwan, for example. And the problem, though, is that, you know, mass alone is not going to solve the problem because China has a lot of defenses. It's right there nearby. It can shoot down a lot of drones, whether they're on the water or in the air. And we need to think about, you know, how do we make the drones operate more, you know, intelligently with their human counterparts, so that we can actually create, you know, complexity for the Chinese, so that the Chinese can handle, you know, just a linear extrapolation of our current force and making it larger, because they know how to shoot down our airplanes. They knew how to attack our ships. So if we just expand the number, that doesn't really solve the problem. We've got to make it so that the force operates differently and that they are faced with more complexity, because the fleet will operate differently. The aircraft will operate differently with these manned and unmanned teams. So, you know, instead of it just being a bunch of planes that are going to launch missiles, manned or unmanned, you have to have it so that maybe the planes are sometimes sensors, some are shooters, some are doing jamming, and they change roles during the course of an operation. So if you're the Chinese, it's hard to really diagnose exactly what you're facing, and you're constantly having to adapt. That makes it more likely that we would succeed against a country like a China. Whereas if we just throw mass at them, you know, they're used to dealing with that, and they'll have a way to address that with their self-defense systems.
Yeah, it's so amazing to think about the technology that is out there right now. But at least we've got smart guys like Brian Clark thinking about this. Thank you so much, Brian. This guy is one of you. And it's just so great to talk to Tom Satterly, highly decorated Delta Force combat veteran, 5 Bronze Stars, on-air contributor for a new 3-part docuseries called Surviving Black Hawk Down, which is showing on Netflix. And Tom is with us here in the National Defense. Tom, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much.
Hey, before we get into the series here, I was looking into your organization, your foundation, the All Secure Foundation. Man, that seems really cool. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was built by my wife and I, mostly my wife, when we used to own a training company, training special operations units before they deployed to combat overseas, showing them the reality that we could show them. Some guys weren't returning. Some guys get killed during training. And my wife was like one of those, wow, people get killed all the time. I don't know if I can do this job. But what I can do is help bring them home. And she sat on target many nights talking to all these special ops warriors about what they need help with and started cataloging what that was. Most of it was help me be a better father, help me be a better husband, help me at home. I have a book for everything else. So we built the All Secure Foundation to bring them home, connect them with their families, give them the tools to change the behavior that they have and improve their lives while working through the post-traumatic stress that they have. So we bring the reality to them, we get them to do the acceptance, and then they get to work on improving their lives.
Wow, that is very cool. Yeah, I would encourage everybody to check that out, the All Secure Foundation. Hey, Tom, let's talk about this series a little bit, 3-part docuseries, Surviving Black Hawk Down. And so what is your experience with Black Hawk Down?
I was on the ground in 1993 for all the missions, and specifically that day that they're talking about. I was at the first crash site after, you know, being dropped outside the perimeter on infill. It was just one of those days where everything didn't go wrong, but everything that could go horribly wrong against you did, unexpectedly. Lots of individuals with all kinds of weapons and lots of training that were coming at us instantly. So it was an 18-hour firefight, the longest sustained firefight since Vietnam.
Wow.
And it was quite eye-opening for me. It was my first combat experience. And
that was your first combat experience?
It was. Thrust right into the good one.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I did a lot of learning that night from a lot of the seasoned individuals on the teams there. I also learned that no matter how your training is, you could still die instantly standing next to somebody. So it's one of those horrifying events that tells you the full story, but I think this documentary is going to be so much more exciting because it tells you the actual true stories from those who went through it. And I think hearing that perspective is going to be more in detail than the movie would, and it will kind of tie it all together. Plus, you get to hear the other side story as well. I'm excited.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It starts streaming on Netflix on February 10th. And so the Black Hawk Down, the movie, came out in 2001, which is really incredible for me to believe that it was that long ago. But were you portrayed by someone in Black Hawk Down?
A lot of our actions were portrayed. The unit wasn't allowed to talk at the time. They wouldn't go to Delta guys. I think they had a couple they talked to that maybe got out at the time. But most of the stories told from the Rangers' perspective and what they saw Delta guys do. So some of that is off, and some of the actors do 3 or 4 different events that maybe one guy did or two different people did.
Okay.
So it kind of rotates around. So it's not one individual represents one person on the ground. It's kind of like a story told in whole.
Yeah. Did you like the movie? Was it, in your mind, was it fairly accurate?
I did. I saw it one time. I can't see it again. That it's so accurate and it's so vivid and real for me that it's difficult to watch anymore. But yeah, I think it really captured the chaos. It captured the humor and the loss of life. A bit of the human side that you don't get in a lot of military movies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're talking to Tom Satterlee here on the National Defense, and five Bronze Stars. Oh my gosh, last 20 years of your service. You're in the Delta Force, there's no more elite unit than that. And for you to be a part of that for so long, man, that's got to just play a huge part of your life, right?
I think it's everything I am. It really changed who I was. It makes it difficult to shake who I am now. I found out that the toughest unit I've ever been in is the family unit now. It's more difficult to struggle through that.
Yeah. How big a family do you have?
I'm down to one more at home. She's getting ready to go to college next year. So we have three in total. And one's working, one's in Rome right now going to college, and the other one's getting ready to go over to London, I think, and go to college next year. Wow. So we're excited.
Yeah. Right. I know the feeling. I know the feeling. We're talking to Tom Satterlee here on the National Defense, the new three-part docuseries, Surviving Black Hawk Down, on Netflix, starting February 10th. So, Tom, I don't know if you've gotten this question today or not, but since we just had the tragic news involving that the Black Hawk chopper, what's your take on all that?
Well, the only thing I want to say about that is that the massive loss of life on both aircraft.
Right.
I immediately went to the families, the individuals on those aircraft, and the loss that they had and what they're going to go through. I know how difficult it is to go through that much loss. I didn't look at it like technically, like what happened. I mean, that's someone else's job. I just instantly went to the loss of life inside because I know what that looks like in a helicopter and an airplane. So, yeah, straight to the families with my thoughts.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that I had an interview a couple of weeks earlier with someone who flew Blackhawks and told me that was the safest aircraft on Earth.
That's what I've been told, and I'm pretty happy to hear that every time I was in one.
Yeah, absolutely. You were a consultant and also an on-air contributor for this docuseries. I would imagine they relied pretty heavily on your account.
Yeah, I can't really say. I mean, they interviewed me individually, and I gave them everything I could, everything from my heart and soul that I could muster to get out without, crying too much. And
sure.
I'm excited myself to see the other individuals and their stories. I know several of them in there personally, so I'm excited to hear their rendition of what they went through. I know it's different for every individual in combat. Is you pretty much see your world.
Yeah, that's going to be good. It starts February 10th. It's streaming on Netflix. Tom, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for the time today, and really appreciate everything.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it, and thank you to all the veterans out there.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Good, good. We have gentlemen and women that work to serve America, whether they're wearing the uniform of the United States military, they're a first responder, they're law enforcement, all those sort of things. You know, it takes everyone. But you've got a family history of service. I believe both you and your father were MPs in the Army, correct?
That is correct.
Tell us a little bit about your time in the military.
You know, after college, I became a second lieutenant in the United States Army, the Military Police Corps. Served in a multitude of MP assignments, starting as a platoon leader in Korea in the 2nd Infantry Division, moving to Fort McClellan, wherein I did a bunch of different jobs with respect to working in the schoolhouse and the training brigades. From there, I transitioned to Fort Campbell as a company commander of the 194th MP Company. Transitioned from there out to California, where I was the advisor for some readiness groups, military police advisor. Mm-hmm. And then I transitioned from active duty after 11 years and became an ATF agent in 1999. From there, I transitioned, or from there, I was actually dual career because I stayed in the military police corps, yep, and stayed in the Army. And, served until from 99 until 2017, whereas when I retired as an 06. Burke Colonel as the Provost Marshal for the Army Corps of Engineers. But simultaneously, I was also an ATF agent, mm-hmm, focusing on violent gangs and things along those lines.
So what part of being an MP and your military service do you think has informed on how you approach a case, on how you work a case, how you approach groups like the Aryan Circle? What did you bring to you from your Army days?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I will tell you, people often ask me how I was able to build these large-scale task forces, right, to target these particular groups. And, I always go back to my experience as an Army officer and the training that I received in terms of, mm-hmm, leadership and management. And I was able to leverage those skills that I learned as an Army officer from a multitude of assignments and leverage those skills into being a seasoned federal investigator. But more importantly, building the teams that we needed to target, these particular violent gangs, right?
Right.
So you learn a lot of things about how to conduct a meeting, how to communicate with people, how to resolve conflicts with different agencies or different individuals. And I will tell tell you, one of the most challenging parts of being a successful law enforcement officer and someone that can build these large-scale task forces is getting cops to work together,
mm-hmm.
because it's a very competitive business. And oftentimes there's a lot of competition. So how do you break down those barriers? And there's a lot of different techniques I use to do that, most of which I've learned from my days as being an Army officer. You know, it's about establishing trust with these organizations and these teams and, you know, let them see that, that what you have going on is important. It's going to benefit them as well.
Well, when you have that sort of that mission discipline, you know, it makes putting those large scale operations together just that much more seamless. And if you encounter difficulties, you're prepared. You know, you can pivot, you can rotate. Let's talk about your involvement in this new season of Vice TV's United Gangs of America. We've got the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas. We've got the Aryan Brotherhood of California. I believe they're the original, the brand. I think that was what that one was called. Tell us, just give us like a 500-mile-up view on what the Aryan Circle, this Aryan prison gang system is like. Because I got to admit, it's not part of my daily parlance. I'm not looking into prison gangs every sort of day. But it's, I got to guess, at its base, it's very basic. But then they kind of get really complex with the network, how that works.
Well, you know, most of these Aryan-based type prison gangs, it all started in California back in the 1960s with the Aryan Brotherhood that originated in San Quentin. And then it kind of evolved over the course of time. I mean, so what occurs is that these particular gangs start to form each other. And they formed each other because, you know, prisons started to become aligned along racial lines. So you have the white inmates, you'd have mm-hmm. the Hispanic inmates, and you have the black inmates, right? So they would all align along those particular lines. I mean, it's just the way it is in prison. And, you know, as a result of that, what occurred is a lot of these organizations or these groups would form gangs because it gave them more power within the prison system to be aligned. It also provides some protection for them, but most importantly, it gave them the ability to make money and do things in prison and have certain perks if they were part of a particular gang. Because, again, you know, it's like a union. You know, these guys all had collectively they could do things. And that's how it originated. But what also occurred is that as these individuals got out of prison, they would maintain their alliance with these particular groups and these gangs. And oftentimes it was difficult for them to find jobs on the outside. So they would continue their criminal enterprise
mm-hmm.
and do things outside of prison as well. So we saw a lot of that in the investigations that I've conducted both into the Aryan Brotherhood and the Aryan Circle. And as a federal agent, you know, when we were doing things or when they were doing things and they were committing crimes and killing people, kidnapping people, assaulting people, it just kind of rose on our radar screen.
Right, right. Well, I watched a bit of the preview of this, and you talk about the founder of the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas and how, you know, reaching out to, you know, to the brand, and then you've got the Aryan Sisters. At this point, so you've got a prison gang that's, you know, or a gang that's born out of prison. Are the majority of the people that are members of the Aryan Circle still in the prison system, or are most of them civilians and they're out? Not civilians, a bad word to pick, because these guys are not civilians. These are not, you know, your taxpayers. These guys are out causing problems. But where's the power physically located? Is it coming? Is it born out of the prison system, or is it you know, out in the public?
Well, it just depends on someone's situation at that particular time, right? So mm-hmm. you know, we targeted the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas. You know, it was a general that was out in the streets. So he was out there creating havoc. All right. So, you know, we try to put him back in prison. We kind of minimize the destruction that they're conducting. Same thing with the Aryan Circle. We saw a lot of crimes that were committed outside of the prison system. So, you know, someone's in prison for a certain period of time. What we try to do is put them in there for a much longer time. Right? Mm-hmm. So they may get in, you know, they may have a gun charge. They may have something on the state level where they're out, you know, maybe, you know, 2 years or less than 2 years, then they're back committing the crimes that they were previously committing. So what we try to do on the federal level is to target these guys for racketeering statutes and put them in prison for a lengthy period of time. And that's one of the things that we were very successful at doing, using the RICO statutes.
So you've been involved in a lot of these prosecutions, and obviously we keep hearing about racketeering cases. Can you give the dummies, including me, what is racketeering? If you're going into one of these cases and you hear racketeering as the charge, what exactly does that mean?
So racketeering, or RICO, stands for Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act. And it was a law that was developed in the early 1960s to essentially target the mafia, mm-hmm. the Italian mafia in New York. It's the biggest hammer in the federal toolbox. What I mean by that is it's very seldom used. It's a very powerful tool of Justice likes to have oversight on. The reason it's not very often used is because all these local U.S. attorney's offices don't want oversight from main justice or from DOJ.
Gotcha.
But when it is used, it's a very, very powerful tool. And what it is essentially you have to establish a number of different things. One, that the group that you're going after is, one, an enterprise, right? They operate collectively.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an individual out committing crime. They do it as part of a group, and they do it in support of a group, right? So in our case, it was the Aryan Brotherhood or the Aryan Circle, or, you know, maybe, you know, if you're doing the Italians, La Costa Nostra, or, you know, the Gambino crime family, what have you. But what you have to also establish is a pattern of criminal activity, i.e., one, they're an enterprise, and two, that they're conducting a pattern. So in other words, they're doing more than one particular act. They continue to commit these violations.
Okay.
And it's a little complicated. I mean, there's different federal laws that will fall under the RICO statutes, and there's different state laws that they can kind of assimilate into RICOs. But, yeah, powerful tool. And the most beneficial part of it, you don't necessarily have to be committing this particular crime in the jurisdiction that you're in. Well, for example, on the Aryan Circle case, we charge people in Texas with crimes that they were committing up in St. Louis, you know, whether they're shootings or assaults, things along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So once you establish jurisdiction in a particular venue, in our case it was the Eastern District of Texas, we can take crimes that this group is committing across the country and roll those into a single prosecution, which of course we did in the Eastern District of Texas.
One of the elements, you know, the draws when you're doing these sort of, you're producing a TV show, is you got to have some sort of hook. And some people, you know, this one, obviously, the Aryan Brotherhood, you have a white supremacist gang. But let's be very clear, you're going after these people not because they're a white supremacist gang or La Cosa Nostra or MS-13. You're going after them because they're bad people and they're doing bad stuff. What tinges of the white supremacy movement surprised you? Did they come up that you're just like, that you heard and you're like, damn, okay, well, that's a completely different worldview than I'm used to seeing. What surprised you about digging into the Aryan Circle?
Well, you know, and you're right. I mean, we don't target anybody for their beliefs or what they, you know, the things that they believe in. I mean, it's one of those things. We target you for forbidden violent acts, right? So if you're out killing people, it doesn't matter who you are, white, black, Hispanic, we're going to go after you. And so in terms of being surprised, I don't think any, as a cop, I can tell you, I've known this for over 30-some-odd years, nothing really surprised you anyone. But, you know, I think the thing that surprised me most about these white supremacist gangs, to our advantage, is that they talk about and they claim loyalty and things along those lines. But when they're jammed up by the feds or, you know, they're looking at a 25-year sentence and they know if they cooperate, they can reduce that sentence maybe by 10 years. You know, half of the people that we targeted became cooperators in both the Aryan Circle and the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas gang. So, you know, it's either you get on Team USA or, you know, you elect to do more time. And quite frankly, I respected both perspectives. But there's a saying in federal law enforcement, there's only two types of federal inmates, those that cooperate and those that wish they did. So, you know, most of the guys were smart enough to get on Team USA and be part of our team and part of our prosecution.
Well, we've been joined by Rich Benning, a retired ATF agent who is part of Vice TV's Season 2 of United Gangs of America. You can find Vice TV, you know, just get on Google. Go to the website, find out where you can get it available. I'm sure streaming as well. Rich, we really appreciate your time being on Team USA, number one, both in the military and now with the ATF, and still telling those stories now, but we're really glad that you joined us today, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to The National Defense.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served. My message to veterans, active duty, retired, is that really seriously look at the VA home loan program. I've done it 3 times now, so I'm a repeat customer. We found a house here that we felt would be a great environment for our children to grow up in. It has been transformational to my family.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.